This is a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. You're listening to the UAE's number one talk radio station.
This is Afternoons on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Helen, with you on today's afternoon's show, we have got a really, really valuable conversation around being widowed in the UAE. Priya Pinto is a marketing professional by day, but her passion is for the Warrior Widows, a support group for the UAE. We were also celebrating small businesses, getting your small business shout outs and helping you out with a range of issues, especially relating to social media and building your brand. Alex from House of Social was on hand to talk about what Taylor Swift can teach us. And, well, the Ramadan reunion. It all came together on one very emotional day. We were meeting the winners and hearing their stories too. I'm so delighted and honoured to introduce you to our next guest, Priya Pinto, with us now. By profession, she heads marketing for a soon-to-be NASDAQ-listed AI tech company, but by passion, which is really what we're talking about today, she is the founder of Widow Warriors. It's a Dubai-based support group for women of all ages who've lost their husbands or partners. She's also a transformation coach. And we're also going to be catching up with Devon Mahadeva as we talk about a little about the practical side of being widowed here in the UAE as well. Priya, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
My goodness, my pleasure. We've got a lot to talk about. And some of it is personal, some of it is community-based. We can talk a little bit about your book as well. But I think it's really important to have some context around you and I guess your mission with what you do.
Yes.
Would you be comfortable sharing your personal journey to what's brought you here today and how it's led you to become the founder of this group?
Yes, absolutely. So I'm a long-time resident of the UAE. I moved here in 2000 as a new bride. And 10 years ago is when I lost my husband unexpectedly. He was very young. He was just 39. And he was extremely healthy, but just a massive heart attack on the football field.
Oh, gosh, so, I'm so sorry. Yes, it
was a devastating loss. I won't lie. He was my childhood sweetheart. My world turned upside down overnight. But what led me to form the group is because of my experience. I used to also do volunteer work in Rashid Hospital, so I know someone there. And she unfortunately would come across a lot of people who had lost their husbands. And then she would say, go speak to Priya. She'll help you navigate, you know, the process. So I would have these ladies come to my home. And when they entered in, Helen, I recognized exactly where they were. Their shoulders would be drooped. Their eyes would be down. They would have the weight of the world on their shoulders. But by the time they left my home, their shoulders would be back. And it was almost like they were floating. And the only thing that I had done was shared my story. Mm-hmm. And what they took from it is, if she could do it, I can.
I mean, you make it sound very simple there, you know, to go from complete devastation, and especially with two young children, my gosh, to being able to help people. In the interim, though, you must have had to deal with a lot of your own reconciliation and grief. Who helped you immediately after your husband's death?
Absolutely. I don't want to make it sound easy. There were days when I was in fetal position on the bathroom floor, when I had to stop my car at the side of the road because there was so much, the tears, would make me cause an accident. It wasn't easy. Overnight, also, we had to change home. I was a stay-at-home mom. I was a writer at that time. So overnight, my kids had their mom going back to work. And I thought at that moment, actually, I would have to go back to India because, you know, the legalities here, we put on my husband's visa and everything. Mm-hmm. I was very blessed. The right people come into your life at the right time. So I decided to give myself 1 year to stay in Dubai to see if I could make it on my own. If I didn't, I would go back home.
This was 10 years ago.
This was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And a lot happened since. And it's that journey that I wanted to share with all. That it's not easy, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And my mission is to shorten the time the women are in that dark tunnel with everything that I've learned through my journey, through coaching, through meeting so many people. You don't need to stay down for long.
I love that image that you just described of women coming in and being devastated, being defeated, feeling alone, not having the answers that they need, and being able to leave feeling somewhat empowered, not alone in that journey, in that struggle, and having someone to stand kind of shoulder to shoulder with.
Just a glimmer of hope in their eye.
Yeah.
And then it's so beautiful to see that they go on to empower the others, mm-hmm. because they say, don't worry, we've been there. And it was just, you know, one day when I saw this and I said, if I'm just sharing my story, won't it be so much more powerful if there's a group of stories? And it just that simple thought is what I started Widow Warriors. It was COVID time, I remember, because I had about, I think it's just six people that I'd helped at that time. And we met online for the first time. And then, of course, once COVID left, we were meeting in each other's houses or, you know, out in a restaurant. I've tapped on into my networks. I would have a friend who's really good at finance come in to help the women budget. We had a parenting guide come in. You know, any which way, every time I go out, I speak for the group. You know, they really need help, whether it's scholarships for their children or just employment or help through legalities.
We are going to be continuing the conversation. She's written a book. It's in front of her now. It's called Ma, Will Life Ever Be the Same Again? What is her goal? What is the message she hopes readers will take away from it? Priya is the founder of Widow Warriors. It's a Dubai-based support group that she set up following the tragic and very sudden loss of her husband 10 years ago. Her kids at that stage were just 7 and 9, and she's now on a mission to help empower women and others transition from pain to purpose. I think we'd be a little bit remiss to not talk about the practical side, and we were actually discussing family law on the show earlier this week with Devnan Mahadeva from Baker Tilly Solicitors and Legal Consultants, and this is what he had to say on losing a spouse here in the UAE. As I said, later in the week, we are going to be discussing this on, you know, the more emotional side about what Priya's been through. But I wanted to ask you, well, let's start with what you should do if a spouse passes away suddenly. I think if it's an illness, then, you know, you can be more prepared in terms of the practical side.
Yep.
But if it's something that happens suddenly, Devnan, what are your first steps? What should you do and what should you not do?
Yeah, the first step should be, the repatriation of the body on the mortal remains or the burial or the cremation, whatever it may be. Not to worry about the other things. But then, of course, in due course of time, they have to get concerned about the financials and what they own here in this part of the world.
Now, one thing that a lot of people worry about is, especially if it's a joint bank account,
yeah.
If someone passes away, the assets are frozen automatically and immediately. Is that the case?
Yes, because UAE as such doesn't have an either or survivor system in bank accounts like other countries. So here the bank accounts are and or. So if you have joint bank accounts, if one of the spouses passes away, the account will be frozen. And it cannot be used for further transaction till the inheritance process is done. So we always recommend people to have individual bank accounts. And a lot of them have an argument saying that, okay, especially men, you know, I'm working, my wife is not working, how can I have a bank account for her? Yeah, she cannot have a current account with a checkbook, but she can always have a separate savings account mm-hmm. and keep some emergency money in that bank account.
So I wanted to ask you about, do you need a lawyer in those situations?
Ideally, because if a person passes away and if they hold assets, whether fixed or movable, whether it can be a car, bank account, end of service benefits, it's better to have a lawyer to help you because they will know what to do and how to do the system. But if you can do it yourself as well, but, you know, it'll be like going to a pharmacy and getting your own medicine.
Got you. Devnan Mahadeva speaking to us early in the week, family lawyer at Baker Tilly. Priya Pinto's in the studio. She is, as I said, the founder of the fantastic support group Widow Warriors. And we are going to talk about the connections, the communication, some of the stories that you've had from your community and the book that you've written as well, Priya. But having heard what Devnan's talking there about, that very practical side, which is horrendous to think about, you know, I can't even imagine when you're in the throes of grief and shock to be having to think about the practicalities and the paperwork. What conversations do you wish you'd had before your husband passed? What do you wish you'd known?
So firstly, you know, he says you eventually have to deal with finances. The reality is, Helen, you have to deal with it immediately, right? Especially when you're an expat in this country, the legalities and everything you have to deal with immediately. I was very fortunate. I had a great landlord at that time. He came over and he said, as long as you need to stay, he was willing to return the rent checks. That's not everyone's reality. There are people in the groups, you know, who got notices immediately. So the one bit in the law has certainly changed. At that time, we were certainly not prepared. We didn't have a will. So, and you think it just won't happen to us. So the first thing I'd like to tell everyone is, you know, my husband didn't drink, didn't smoke, played football once a week, but it happened to him. So it can happen to anyone. Mm-hmm. So you need to be prepared. So having a will is certainly a good idea. But one very simple thing that everyone can do, which costs no money, is firstly have a discussion. The adults have a discussion. And I've created a little folder that's on my desktop, and it's called Rest in Peace. And I will certainly rest in peace knowing that my children have access to all the information that they need to know. I've simply listed all our assets, you know, all my bank accounts, with passwords to everything, who they need to speak to when dealing with a particular institution. Mm-hmm. Because it's really difficult at that time when you're, you know, dealing with the emotions to think practically. So you can prepare yourselves by talking about it. Mm-hmm. That shouldn't be taboo. Everyone should be prepared.
We have something similar. And it's called, rather morbidly, the death drawer.
Oh,
so
right.
There's a drawer in our house which has got, mm-hmm. yeah, as you're talking about, yes. what's where and why. Because, I mean, my goodness, as you say, you know, should the worst happen, mm-hmm. you don't want to be, you know, having to scramble around for passwords or lose track of where, you know, money or life insurance information might be. And you must have women in the group who are
clueless, clueless as to what the assets are. Mm-hmm. And at that time to have to, you know, deal with legalities is really hard.
Priya's with us today. If you've got any questions for her, you are more than welcome to reach out. We've had a couple we're going to be coming to after the text line. We've also had people wanting to be connected with that group. So maybe we can help out people right now. In terms of Widow Warriors, the support group that you've set up, who is it for, and what's the way of connecting with you now, Priya?
So as you said, it's for anyone, any woman who's lost a husband or a partner is welcome into our group. It is for women. I just found I had widowers also reach out to me, and I do provide one-on-one support, but it works really well because, you know, it's just a space that they feel safe in, and then they can talk about anything. Mm-hmm. The best thing that you can do is at priyapinto.com, which is my website, I have a community page called Widow Warriors. They just put their details in if they want that kind of support. And I will reach out to them one-on-one. I hear their story and then I bring them into the group.
Up next, we're going to be delving into the pages of the book she has in front of her, talking about communicating some of the most difficult topics and having very, very, I mean, unimaginable conversations with our children and the tool that this book is going to be providing. So delighted to have in the studio Priya Pinto today. She's a marketing professional, but she's also so much more. She's an author. She's the founder of Widow Warriors. It's a Dubai-based support group for women of all ages and demographics who have lost their husband or partners. She's also a transformation coach. She lost her husband tragically and very suddenly 10 years ago when her children were just 7 and 9. And she's now on a mission to help others turn what she says pain into purpose. I want to ask you if it's not too personal, Priya, about your children, especially at that time. And I've got children the same age, mm-hmm. and it's unimaginable, I'm sure, for parents listening today to have to break that news to your children and start piecing together life in a completely different way. Can you remember having to tell them about their dad?
Yes, absolutely. It was at the hospital, and I had to break the news. And the first thing my daughter asked me is, promise me you won't die too.
Oh, gosh.
And that statement and a few of other experiences my kids went to really prompted me to write this book, Helen, because it is when in this widow support group, we have people, like you said, different ages, different nationalities, different relationships with their husbands, mm-hmm. right? But the one thing that was consistent was the challenges we had with our children. And I recognized that. And I remember that when Shula passed away, there was nothing out there. There was no guidebook. There are some books about, you know, talking about death, etc. But what happens when your life gets turned upside down and you're navigating, you know, your children through that process? Mm-hmm. There was no guidebook out there. And I saw what the other widows were going through was similar.
So these common issues.
Absolutely.
Milestones,
I guess,
in some ways.
Like, and that is, you know, there are six stories in the book that touch on those major milestones, right from the day after the funeral to moving on. And you know, that's what the book is about. And if I may, it was, you know, one of my daughter came home one day. She was just seven. And she said, "I'm tired of being the kid with the dead dad." And that really made me realize that there has to be conversation around this. There has to be education around it. It's not that, you know, the teachers probably were overcompensated. Trying good, but they wouldn't know better. Mm. You know, people don't know what to say in that situation.
Everyone's afraid of getting it wrong.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure even as a parent who had their best intentions and all the love in the world, still not having the tools or the language or the strategies to even try and navigate this. The book is called, oh my goodness, even the title makes me well up. It's called Ma, Will Life Ever Be the Same Again? And as you said, it's got these six kind of chapters, stories as such. Would you mind kind of talking us through those six?
Very much so, because I think it will resonate with anyone who's had this journey. But also, more importantly, I had a education consultant who worked for a big consultancy. And when she saw the book, she said, this is not only for grieving families. It needs to be, you know, build empathy among children everywhere. Mm. And you need to be able to talk about difficult subjects like death. Mm. So the first story is, Ma, why does everything have to change? Because overnight, like I said, you have to change house, we change school, mom starts working. And it's very hard to explain to children why this needs to be happen. So it needs to happen. So this first story is about trying to see how the change can be positive. That's the first story. And then when immediately you don't really have time to grieve, there is so much happening. But when it all, simmers down, you've dealt with the legalities, and that's when grief really hits. So the next story is, Ma, what will make the pain go away? And three of us had three very different ways. I was in the bathroom crying, so I was hiding. My son suppressed it, and my daughter was talking about it openly. Mm-hmm. And the book gives handy, very simple things that you can do to help and support each other during this grieving period.
Because presumably you're the one that's expected to be strong, or you put that pressure on yourself to be strong to support your children.
Absolutely.
Your heart is broken.
Till I realized one day, what is the message that I'm giving my children? That when things are, you know, when they're in a difficult situation, they're not allowed to cry. I was giving them absolutely the wrong message. Mm-hmm. And that's what this story deals with. Talk about it. It's okay to cry. Just talking and crying are the two best tips that you can give the family. And then after that was, okay, you're dealing with your grief, and then you have to deal with other people's reaction to it. Mm-hmm. You're managing other people's grief and people who don't know. So that the third story is, Ma, why do people treat us differently?
And did they feel like that at school?
Absolutely. One was, my daughter saying this when she came home. And another big day for me was, you know, my mom-in-law, she's passed away. But at that time, she asked me to make pictures of her husband. She wanted to put it all around the house, and then she couldn't take it with her. So I ended up having those photographs, which I put around the house. And one day I found that my kids had hidden the photograph in the drawer when their friends were coming over. And I realized, because they don't want that to be the central topic. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we had the memorial, and I had a big picture of my husband. And we had, memorial football matches. So there were the trophies. And unknowingly, I had a shrine in my house, which was a dominant factor, which was not very healthy in helping the children move on. And I saw this, one of the widows in our group, she went and made a roll-up of her husband to put at the dining table, thinking that would help, you know. But I had to let her go through that, shared my experience, and then she knew when it was time to take it down.
Gosh.
So that's you know, helping people who treat us differently. And then, okay, you've managed that. then the next thing that hits are the special days. You're okay. But then a birthday comes up and Christmas comes up and anniversaries comes up. And those days are really hard. So this story talks about how you can bring new traditions in. Like one of the traditions in my house was my husband, as the head of the family, would put the star on top of the Christmas tree. That's what we always did. And here I am decorating and the star comes up. And now what do we do? So we started a new tradition because my kids were fighting about who gets to put it up, right?
Uh-huh.
So Johan picked up Jana then at 9 and 7, and together they put the star on top of the tree. And I have 10 years of photographs, them growing. And one day Jana wanted to pick up Johan, and it was just a beautiful new tradition. And this book allows the families, there are exercises at the end of the book so that they can brainstorm together about ideas that they can bring in. Or, Arsenal was my husband's favorite team, and I just heard before on the show they're up
doing
again.
All right.
But it was very hard to watch football matches and without him being there. Mm. Okay, so we changed traditions. And then there was a day when my kids came and felt really guilty because she couldn't remember his voice.
This is what I wanted to ask you about, keeping memories alive, about having legacies and honoring their life.
You said it, and that was what we did. Is how can you keep their memory alive? And what we did, because he was passionate about football and he had a group of such beautiful friends, we had a football memorial tournament which we ran for 7 years right till COVID.
Gosh.
And so many people came and we raised so much of money for charity. So again, it's about what can you do. It doesn't have to be that big, but just something to honor their memory. Or if they died from cancer, is there something around that cause that you can build something about? So that's about how can we remember dad forever. And then finally, it's the guilt about moving on, right? Ma, what would make dad happy? And I tell this story by using our puppy that came in,
soccer,
yes. It's all about football in our house. And how, the drum set had to move out to make place for soccer's little playpen. And that means, are you trying to forget dad? And mom, what will happen if you get married again? And having those difficult conversations, what would make dad happy? And using the story of the dog to help children have those conversations.
Priya, thank you so, so much. I think so many valuable insights there that you've, put together so beautifully into a book. It is being published. We're just waiting for a date. Yeah. We are in conversation this afternoon with Priya Pinto, here to help. Priya, I've had so many beautiful messages coming in on my own WhatsApp, on social media, on 4001 about what a valuable conversation this is. We're talking today about your own journey. You were sadly widowed 10 years ago, and now, as you've put it, turning pain into purpose. You've got a support group for women of all ages called Widow Warriors. I've had messages from friends who've lost parents saying, how important it is to continue to have conversations about grief, to be around people. And I've got, as I said, on 4001, if you want to send me the word warrior, I will send you the link to Priya's website so you can find out more about joining that group and availing of any of the expertise. Equally, if you want to add your own expertise and support these women, you can just send me that word warrior. What are your hopes for the future, Priya, and when it comes to, your aspirations for the support group, but also your advocacy efforts in the field of widowhood?
So, of course, a show like this would let people out there who don't know that there is a support group. So, hopefully we reach more people. Ideally, it would be so good. Like, I have some people on our group are in India, but they can't. It's not the same because having, a local support group. So a similar concept, just like Alcoholics Anonymous has in every city, I would really love if that could be grown.
You could roll it out.
And roll it out into different cities. And within Dubai, if we can do a lot more to help these single mums, they are warriors and for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
Because changing their lives is also changing the lives of their children.
With the book, and let's talk about that. You mentioned off air, it'd be great to connect with some schools I've said it before across a whole range of different topics, what a valuable tool a book can be for giving parents the language to talk about some very, very difficult things. And it might not be a child who has lost a parent. It might just be building empathy, understanding what a classmate might be going through, or even what their parent might be going through.
Absolutely, absolutely. First of all, just books, even yours, is just so beautiful because it creates a connection. Having that physical book in a hand just creates a connection and a conversation. But yes, if anyone has, you know, I would love to take these books into schools because I think they're having them in the library, like you said, to help grieving families and parents, but also create empathy is so important. So if someone can help me with that journey, I would love if they could get in touch with me.
You can send me the word warrior to 4001. We've had a message going, what a woman, what a story. Dina saying, was she ever tempted to move back to her home country? You've been in the UA since the year 2000. You mentioned earlier that initially, yes, maybe, but
absolutely. So when you know, I was a writer at that time, and to bring up two children in Dubai on a writer's salary isn't really easy. Mm-hmm. But I gave myself a year, and I was digging into my savings in that first year, saying because this is where we wanted to bring up our children, and I had to honor what me and my husband had decided to do. But no, this is my home. This is our children's home. And India is just three hours away, and our family visiting all the time.
Well, we're really lucky to have you here, Priya. Thank you so much for opening up this conversation. As you said, I think a lot of people have been unaware of a community, mm-hmm, of a support group, whether it's one-on-one, they'd feel more comfortable talking to you or having support of other women around you. Please don't hesitate to reach out. No name needed, no questions asked. We just want to make sure that you find your tribe at what can be one of the most devastating times. Priya Pinto, thank you so much
thank
for your
you
time.
Thank you so much for having me, Helen.
Really, really appreciate it. We are talking small businesses between now and 3 o'clock. And already messages coming in saying, my name is Lizzie. I run a small platform called Unscripted or Unscripted SH on Instagram. I help women entrepreneurs and creatives tell their unscripted stories on my platform. They can share their journeys. I also host small dinner events to spotlight different women-owned brands. Love the sound of that. We've also had a message from Alexander talking about chocolate, saying, myself and my lovely wife, aka the super talented chocolatier, launched locally based startup Skinny Eats Dubai. We specialize in zero sugar chocolate and highly appreciate the local support. Why are we talking small businesses? Well, if you need some help, we've got the right person in the studio. We've got Alexandra. She is the founder of Alex's House of Social. She's got experience in digital marketing in agency, but now she's a consultant, an educator, a speaker, helping businesses and individuals grow their brands, figure out the best way to use social media in particular through 101 projects and her very successful Rebel Club too. She has got some free webinars coming up. So we're picking her brains across a whole host of common small biz questions and conundrums. Alex, how are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to be back.
You've always got so much to share.
I know.
I always feel like we're going to run out of time, especially now we're giving people shout outs. And I've had loads of people getting in touch. And I think it's really important to celebrate small brands, to give them a platform.
Yeah.
Whether that is, you know, we all have influence. We know we talk about influencers, but whether you've got 50 followers or 50,000, everyone has influence in their own personal sphere. And you can really help kind of amplify that. Now, you have got webinars coming up with a whole range of what I think are brilliantly named topics. One of them is what we can learn from Taylor Swift, Kim Kardashian, and Rihanna. What are these women doing that small businesses need to pay attention to?
I know it's probably a little bit daunting. Every time I talk about this, everybody's like, but we're not them and we don't have their budget. But this is exactly why I love to talk about it, because we can still scale it down. Which one do you want to start with?
Taylor Swift is my number one girl.
Okay, my favorite lesson from Taylor, there's so many, but let's start with the first one that I have, which is she has rewritten all of her songs.
Do you know the story behind
yes.
this, the Kelly Clarkson
yeah.
story? Okay. We're going to go deep dive into the Helen Farmer Taylor Swift knowledge here. Basically, Taylor got ripped off by Scooter Braun. He sold all of her song rights, and Kelly Clarkson tweeted her saying, you should re-record all of them, re-release them, and add some yes. value every single time you re-release an album, which is why you see the Taylor's version. So she will add in, I mean, obviously beautiful artwork and vinyl, a few extra songs. And it's a kind of a in your face to him.
Love it. Thank you for that. Thank you for giving such an amazing context. Yes.
I think about it a lot.
Yeah.
So she's basically taken a really potentially commercially damaging situation and turned it around big time.
Yeah. big time. So what's the lesson here for us? Because I know that's what's on everybody's mind right now. Okay, what does this mean for us? This is such a big lesson on how we, all of us, small businesses, need to be in more control of our, either it's our email databases, either, let's say you host a lot of online courses, all of the information that we have, if we take a moment, it's all on third-party platforms. Mm-hmm. If Instagram shuts down tomorrow, or like maybe in the US, TikTok just disappears, right? Or what if someone comes after your business, like it's happened to me a few weeks ago, and then they put cease and desist on some platforms. If we take a moment to realize a lot, if not all of our business stuff, from contents to emails to resources, are on third-party platforms. So I just want everybody now to start being more mindful that, mm-hmm. one, are we backing up everything? Do we have everything backed up?
No.
Helen is just looking at me like, nope.
I'm just thinking about my laptop going, no.
Second, follower count is amazing, but do we have the emails or the WhatsApps of all of our followers, right? That's so important. If TikTok goes away, if Instagram, if Facebook. So what are we doing? Are we backing up everything? Are we doing funnels to get all of that information? Okay. Third, let's pay attention a little bit to the choice of platforms we might want to be on. Some platforms have different policies with safety, with sometimes trademark infringements. So you might be on some platforms that might just shut you down very suddenly. It happened to me a few weeks ago, so it can happen to many of you. So back up your things, save. If you've got a lot of content, make sure that you've got it all backed up. Be more mindful about where you are hosting your things, mm-hmm. so that you are always in control of your things.
I mean, Taylor Swift wisdom at every turn.
She's so amazing. She's so amazing. You know, she released, you know, the movie she did for the concert, she even released that first on her website before taking it to all of the cinema production houses.
It was one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
So
I've
want everybody, yeah, one, I haven't even watched it yet because I'm trying to go to the one in Lisbon. So I just want everybody to be in more control of everything you do.
Take nothing for granted.
Take nothing for granted.
It might not be yours forever. Alex from House of Social today. We are talking small businesses. We're talking social media. Message here saying Winifred Mills for stunning fashion. Laura saying small biz shout out. Beachdays.ae on Instagram for sustainable beach bags, totes and coolers made from recycled plastic bottles. And Antisocial Skate Co. for the best longboards and surf skates. We've also had questions, and we are going to be going to the text line in just a few minutes. Hilda's asking for help on how to build and grow a personal brand. She's an author with a book series. We've also had questions about ideas to grow social media without showing my face, please. It's a jewellery business. Interesting indeed. Joining us in studio, we have got Alex of House of Social. She has been working in digital media for years on agency side, but also now as a consultant, as an educator, as a speaker. She gives away a lot of free content and expertise, and she's got some free webinars coming up. So we're picking her brains now on a whole host of topics. We've been talking about what Taylor Swift can teach us. We're going to be talking about emotionally connecting with clients, but most importantly, taking your questions too. And if you want to give your small business a shout out, this is your chance. We've had Party Magic for customized souvenirs and giveaways for celebrations and occasions. Custom Craft for all things personalized, and Georges of Dubai. But we're taking your questions too. Right, Alex, should we get the text line?
Yes, let's do it.
We've had a message here saying, please share ideas to grow social media business without showing my face. It's a jewellery biz. That's an interesting point, because we think about people buy from people. We need to be getting those human connections, those narratives, who you are, what are you selling, why are you selling it? But for some people, it might not fit the aesthetic of their business, or they might just not feel comfortable. What's your take?
Which is totally fair. I just want to point out a reminder. You can do it, but you will lose out on a lot of opportunity. So yes, but just remember that you will lose out a lot. So what can we do? Mascots. Remember in the 1940s, in the 1950s, mascots became such a big thing, right? You can still bring back a lot of brands have mascots. Look what Dunkin' Donuts has done, right? They brought out that really cool advert for the Super Bowl, and they're all in these mascots with big donuts. So you can create a mascot, you can create a digital avatar, and you can even animate it. So that is still very relevant today. So you can definitely do that, and that can be a really cute, emotional way. And then you can even take it to events. You know, you can give it as much life as you want. Mm-hmm. But mascots, drawing, illustrations of you or a representation of you.
That's what I was going to say. If that doesn't fit the business type or, you know, the aesthetic that you're going for, there are other ways of adding this kind of personalized softness, I guess.
Yes.
Is that the word I'm looking
for? A really
for?
Beautiful illustration. Like, however is the art direction that aligns with your brand. Could be graffiti, could be a digital art, could be, you know, hand illustration, could be a mascot, could be an avatar. Mm-hmm. So what would be that visual representation?
To get that connection.
Yeah.
Okay. We've had a message here from Hilda saying, please help. Snowy and Zoe Books. It's a tiny business. How to build and grow a personal brand.
Ooh, okay. Personal brand is all about being authentic and vulnerable. People connect with people for their real human vulnerability stories. So you are going to have to open up that vulnerability. Talk to us about what you're going through. Talk to us about your journey of starting your business. Take us through a life in the day of you running your business. But we want to see it all. The dirty, the messiness, the greediness, the good days, the bad days. This is what we relate with. So don't think that you have to create an image. Don't think that it has to be polished and perfect. We're tired of that. We know that's not the reality.
This is something I'm really struggling with right now.
Which ones?
the getting the balance right. Mm. Because if you have a quick look on my Instagram right now, everything is shiny and positive. We just went to the Maldives, for goodness sake. I've got a book coming out in a few weeks. But I've also got a lot of stuff going on. You know, I've had some awful news the last few weeks. I've got lots of family, you know, juggles and struggles.
Yeah.
And I've always kind of prided myself on being very open and honest. But I also, it's trying to kind of toe that line between holding something back for yourself and being authentic.
Yeah.
So how do you advise people who want to have that human connection and but maybe want to be vulnerable to a point?
Yeah. I think what you said is one of the first things, to start being more mindful that you want to strike a bit of a balance, that it's not just all good, 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 happy, happy, positive, and that it's not just all picture perfect. Mm-hmm. So just that mindfulness of like, hold on, I don't want to just give off this image. So being mindful that, hold on, I want to balance it out with some reality, some behind the scene. Then it becomes about what you also said. What are you comfortable? For example, I'm an open book. Literally, my Instagram is like almost like a dear diary. If I could share everything, I could.
But you'd probably be asking me the country.
Yes. So what are you comfortable with sharing? And then it becomes about how you want to share it. What is that format? Is it a voiceover over a video so it feels less daunting, right? Mm-hmm. Is it about coming on camera and really just having a coffee and having a candid conversation? Is it about capturing some funny, clumsy, crazy, you know, nightmare run to the airport and you forgot the bag and the kid is crying? And is it capturing those kind of like really scrappy, messy moments and then putting a video together to show, hey, this is the behind the scenes. Yeah. This happens. So you have to ask, what are you okay to share? But when you share, it's so powerful because other people identify, other people can relate.
Yeah, we'll have those Me Too moments.
Yeah.
Okay. Alex, we've got lots of small business shout outs. We've got lots of questions for you as well. So 4001, if you want to put anything to Alex about social media in particular for leveraging your small business. We've got Eid around the corner. So maybe this is the time for you to be looking at sales and deals and offers, or maybe it's not right for your business. We've also had this question that we're going to be coming to in just a few minutes. What is the number one thing a business owner should not fear when they start a business? That is going to be coming up. Alex from House of Social is on hand. We're talking about using social media to leverage your business, whether you are a one man or woman band or you're looking to scale up. She's got a series of free webinars covering all sorts of different things, from using LinkedIn to acquire leads, why emotionally connecting with clients is crucial, and as we touched on earlier, what we can learn from Taylor Swift, Kim Kardashian, and Rihanna. If we've got time, I want to come back to a bit of Beyonce as well. Yeah. We're also loving your social media shout outs. We had Becky Bramble selling colourful, stylish and comfortable clothes. That's from Becky herself. And you can give yourself a shout out. That is absolutely A-OK. We had a message that actually came through appropriately social media saying, what is the number one thing a business owner should not fear when they start a business? Ooh, interesting.
I love this question. I don't know who asked, but this is the best question ever. You cannot fear failing. You gotta be okay with something. And I actually don't like to use the word failing. You have to be okay with something not working out.
Or not working out the way you thought it
Absolutely.
Was going to.
You have to build this muscle that most of the things you're going to do will not work out the way you want it. For some reason, young entrepreneurs think that everything is going to work out. Most of the things will not. And you have to learn to be so okay with that. And even take that and go, okay, my Rebel Club did not work out the first time I did it.
And now?
I had to shut it down. And now it's one of my most popular consultancy offerings out there. So when it didn't work out, when something doesn't work out, don't lose motivation, don't feel deflated, don't beat on yourself, don't take the emotional route, get practical and go, what can I learn? What are the insights? What are the feedbacks? Let me go back in the drawing room. Let me try again. Let me rebuild it again. That is entrepreneurship. Mm-hmm. Entrepreneurship is literally constantly trying to figure it out. And when you get it right, amazing. Yeah.
But everything's a learning.
Yeah.
You win or you learn. We've had a message from Zoe saying, when should you use a social media agency or freelance expert and when should you do it yourself? I'm just starting out with a line of dresses. Instagram is going to be my main sales platform. Also, oh, that's interesting. Also, please advise re-gifting to influencers. I can talk to you about that, Zoe. Let's talk about when to do it yourself and when to outsource, delegate, Alex.
When it comes to production and doing a lot of the stuff, you should do it yourself first. You could get, for example, a consultant to guide you. I do a lot of that. I guide so many of my small businesses. And having that guidance is valuable because you're going to avoid wasting time and making mistakes. Mm-hmm. So you go faster. But you should do it yourself initially. Why? Because when you do it yourself, you're going to learn. When you learn, you will then be able to judge it when someone else is doing. A lot of the problems is that if you outsource too early production, you have no idea what you're judging or analyzing or giving feedback. You are blindly trusting someone. I have so many clients that come to me because they blindly gave their social media outsourcing and they had no idea what was going on.
Which comes back to what we're talking about before in terms of ownership of your intellectual
property.
Yes,
thank you. Yes, makes full circle.
Yeah.
Get the guidance so you know where you're going, but then get your hands in there in the beginning.
And also, I think it is a case of think about what's valuable for your time. What's a good use of your time and your expertise? Some really great messages coming in. One saying, failure plus learning equals flirning.
Oh, I love that.
You can have that as a hashtag, Alex.
Boom.
And Messi is saying, Insta is awesome, but use other socials. Going out and doing it yourself is the best. Quick shout out for your series of free webinars.
Yes.
When are they starting and who can get involved?
Oh, April 15th. I'm doing not one, not two, not five. I'm doing 10 free webinars back to back. You can spend every day with me, every evening if you are in Dubai, 8 p.m., but it goes out internationally. So that kicks off on April 15th. It's 10 of them. The agenda is on my website, alexhouseofsocial.com. And I also have a few spots available to join my Rebel Club.
What's the best way of getting in touch with you?
Instagram, my DMs, you can email me. I'm everywhere. So you can.
She's everywhere.
Yeah.
Tell you what, if you want to send me the word social or because she is our own little unicorn, you can send me the unicorn emoji.
Yes.
I will send you Alex's Instagram. But as I said, she gives away an awful lot of content, information, brilliant resource for small businesses or if you are looking to upskill. Plus, yeah, the webinar's coming out very soon. Might see you there. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having
You're
me.
You're an absolute superstar. It is bright and early. We're here at JA Beach Resort. I'm Helen Farmer, and it is the culmination of weeks and weeks and weeks of inviting Dubai Eye listeners to come forward and ask why they want to be reunited with someone special. We've had applications from all walks of life and across the ARN stations. We've brought together today 18 families. We've had people coming from Peru. We've had people coming from Europe. And we are here for a couple of really fantastic, fun-filled days. But we haven't reunited people yet. And I have to say, this is, I'm expecting it to be a really special time. And the first family we're speaking to today, Michelle, is joining me this morning. It's so lovely to see you. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I had the honour of telling you live on air that we were going to be reuniting this family this Ramadan. But for anyone that wasn't able to hear that, Michelle, and hasn't heard your story before, would you mind explaining a little bit about, well, who you've brought today to the hotel and who we're going to be seeing very soon indeed?
Today I brought my husband David and my two sons Joshua and Micah, and I will be meeting my brother soon, Hilton. He's coming from New Zealand, and the last time I saw him was 13 years ago.
13 years ago?
Yes.
And your boys are a lot, well, 14, so...
14 and 11.
So have they met your brother before?
They haven't. Micah hasn't, who's 11. And Joshua, we kind of ignore the meeting because he was 1 year old. And so he has no recollection of meeting my brother.
And what have been the main obstacles? I mean, New Zealand, my gosh, he's been on quite the journey to get to Dubai today. But apart from the distance, what have been some of the barriers in terms of you guys being together over that more than a decade, Michelle?
I think the key barrier has probably just been finances. Coming from South Africa, yearly we'd probably go home to see my mom. And so New Zealand just seemed further and further out of reach every year. And yeah, just weren't able to coordinate holidays together or anything like that. So
I know life gets in the way, and then the years slip through your fingers.
It did, and years go by so quickly. The last time I saw his family was 2008. And so it's even longer.
So what does it mean to you to have this opportunity?
It is a massive opportunity, and it means a lot. And we are super excited. All of us are excited. And, it's a short time here. He only has until the weekend, but we recognize that it's a gift. And so we are going to make the most of it.
He's right behind you, Michelle. Hilton, welcome. I'm going to hand you the microphone. How are you, sir?
Yay! Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you.
Your sister's brought you all the way from New Zealand. You've been on a plane for a very long time. Thank you so much for being part of the Ramadan reunion.
Oh, thank you for bringing me over.
Can I ask you, Hilton, what was it like to get the news that you were going to be flying to Dubai?
I was gobsmacked because when she initially told me she's entered the competition, I was really skeptical, like, oh, yeah, okay, just one of those competitions. And then when I woke up to all the phone calls, it's like, wow. That was amazing.
Come and take a seat. Now, I had the pleasure of telling Michelle live on air that you were going to be coming to Dubai. And as you said, the time difference wasn't on our side. So when you found out, did you think it was real?
Yes, then it was real. when she called me like the morning, and it was like really, it was real, And it was like, wow, I didn't expect that.
Over there, you've got nephew you've never met before, and one that was just, I would say, a tiny, tiny tot last time.
I think Joshua was about a year old than the last time I saw him.
I like that you haven't lost your accent after all this time in New Zealand.
I am very happy about that as well.
We've got a couple of really fantastic days planned for you. A bit of rest as well first, so don't worry. Have you been to Dubai before?
This is my first time. Yeah.
You're going to be seeing the best of it. You're staying at one of my favourite hotels for the next few nights, and I think you've extended your trip, which is well worth it given that you've travelled from New Zealand. And then we're going to be hooking you up with all sorts of family fun. What are you looking forward to the most, though, for the next couple of days?
Just quality time with him. That's all it is, quality time.
What about you, Michelle?
Exactly what he's saying, quality time and just reconnecting and just, I don't know, distance, even though we speak a lot, there's only so much you can say in a phone call. So just reconnecting and getting to know each other again, I think.
Yeah. And getting to know the boys.
And just seeing him interact with the boys and the boys interact with him, I think that will mean the world to me, because my brothers were there for me growing up. And so just them being part of in seeing us.
And seeing you here, you know, you can say all the time, oh, we're in Dubai, but when you actually haven't been to the city and you can't see what that's like, it can feel a bit abstract, can't it?
That's right, yes. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to keep you any longer. We'll go over and have a chat with your brother-in-law and your nephews. I'm so honoured that you're part of it. I'm going to give you a hug as well. Oh, I'm so thrilled for you. I honestly am. Huge, huge congratulations. Go on, off you pop.
Good to see you. Huh?
We're going to leave our families to have a catch-up and later in the show, finding out about another Ramadan reunion. We're going to be catching up with Craig, whose dad we've brought from South Africa. It's been such a pleasure. Thank you again to everyone who's been part of the Ramadan reunion, from our sponsors to where we are today at JA. Tomorrow, we're going to be broadcasting live from Dubai Parks Resorts, where our families are going to be having an absolutely brilliant time. It is genuinely one of my favourite things. And I'm so, so honoured that we here at Dubai i103.8 can make some family dreams come true.
This is Afternoons with Helen Farmer on Dubai i103.8.
With Vietnamese foodies, fresh, naturally healthy and affordable dishes with authentic Vietnamese flavours. Order now on all delivery platforms. Visit vietnamesefoodies.com.
Helen Farmer with you. It has been such a wonderful, I was going to say a few days, but actually a few weeks, hearing the stories of the Ramadan reunion family. And we've had the pleasure of reuniting some. We are actually right here now live at JA The Resort, and I'm chatting with Mr. Murad Ahmed, the resident manager. I just want to say it's been an emotional time seeing all these families brought together. Thank you so much for everything that the resort has done in terms of treating these families to a beautiful stay and making them feel so welcome here in the UAE. How are you?
Good. It's a pleasure having you here, and it's a pleasure to host this event every year, to be honest. I mean, it's fourth year now, right? So it's a pleasure also to see how your reunion, these all families, it's amazing, to be honest, to see these things.
I think it's lovely for the families to have somewhere nice to stay, because for a lot of these people, they've never been to the UAE before, and I'm always really keen for anyone coming to Dubai that they see the best of the city, and that's been a really, really important part. So they're having a lovely stay so far. I want to talk a little bit about what's in store, because it's a very special time of year. It is the Ramadan reunion. We've got Eid just around the corner. And I don't want to make you blush, but yours is one of my favorite hotels in the Middle East. We're here all the time. We call it the Peacock Hotel.
Yeah.
So we're planning to come along for a beach day next week, but it goes so much more beyond that. You've got some very special activities going on. Tell us about the Eid market.
Yes, actually, you know, Eid is big things in the resort. So we are usually busy in Eid. So we did something different this year just to get some different taste for our regulars and our residents who comes usually to the resort to celebrate Eid. So we created Eid Market Festival. It's taking place on second day of Eid. It depends of the moon. We don't know when it's Eid. So it's either Wednesday or Thursday. Most probably it's Thursday. So we did something different this year with the market itself. So if you want to join us with the market, you have to buy the ticket through a platinum list. It's 50 dirhams per person. But if you book the same day, it will be 100 dirhams. So,
Get organized.
Yeah, go and book it now. Just to tell you about what's happening in the market itself, you will find the traditional food stalls, market vendors, musical entertainment, kids' activities, fun for entire family.
That
so,
sounds fab.
Your entire family can enjoy.
So, this is going to be from lunchtime all the way through to the evening.
Yeah.
So, tastings and shopping and fun. I think, for me, one of the big draws of this resort is just how much space you have. And I often just kind of let the children run free on the grass. And I think
you'll have free time, right?
And the weather's been amazing right now. I don't want to jinx it, Murad, but I feel like this is one of the best Aprils we've had in my time in Dubai. So let's make the most of it. Let's be outside. So you can get your tickets now for Eid Traditions and Tastes at JA. Platinum list, 50 dirhams ahead of time, or 100 dirhams on the day. So I would say, well worth getting organised. Also, summer is just around the corner. I think you could very convincingly fool someone that you were in the Seychelles or the Maldives with your photos on Instagram. And I have done this before. People are like, oh, didn't realise you were travelling for the holidays. I'm like, oh no, I just got in the car. I'm just at Jebel Ali. I think it's the palm trees. I think
true.
It's the lawns. It's the sea.
You are true. To be honest, I mean, once you are in the resort, you don't feel you are in Dubai.
It's
like an oasis in the middle of the desert, right? So this is how you feel of it. That's why.
You've got some summer stay promotions coming up as well.
We have summer J-A-cation. We call it J-A-cation, a staycation promotion. Summer stays package starting from 1st of May until end of September, 30th of September. The offer is up to 40% off on rooms across all three properties in the resort, with added value of 20% of food and beverage, spa and shooting experience, plus
loads to do.
Early check-in and late check-out also.
I love a late check-out.
Yeah,
I honestly do.
I'm sure.
on the website now. So from 1st of May to end of September, jaresorthotels.com. Can I ask you, as someone who is here at the properties a lot, what's your favourite restaurant right now and your favourite thing on the menu? If someone's going to come and eat this weekend, what should they be trying?
To be honest, I love White Orchid.
Me too. Great prawn crackers in White Orchid.
It's Far Eastern and it's beautiful. It's lovely food.
So whether you're looking to come for dinner, head along for Beach Day, or of course, we've just been talking about the Eid Market Festival, which is taking place next week, second day of Eid, or coming for a staycation over the summer, there's so much to do. Thank you again so, so much, Mud. Really, really appreciate your time today.
You're welcome, Helen.
And
you're
all
welcome.
Of the efforts of the whole team across the property and beyond, and making us at ARN feel so welcome, but also the very special families we brought together for the Ramadan.
It's a pleasure, Helen. Thank you very
much. To you. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
This is Afternoons with Helen Farmer.
On Dubai Eye 103.8, the UAE's number one talk radio station.
Helen Farmer with you. And I have to say, it has been such an honour to be part of the Ramadan reunion over the last few weeks, to be hearing stories, some heartwarming, some genuinely heartbreaking, and to have the opportunity here at Dubai Eye to bring families together. It's just incredible. So I just want to say a huge thank you to everyone that's been involved so far. It is bright and early at JA Beach Resort. And this is where, across the ARN network, we're bringing together 18 families. We've got people coming from as far afield as New Zealand and Peru. We've got people for in their youth all the way to people in their 80s. And I unfortunately didn't have the pleasure of meeting Craig last week and being able to tell him the news that we're bringing his dad to Dubai, but he joins us now live. Thank you so, so much for bringing your beautiful family here as well. We're going to be hearing from Pops very soon. And for anyone that wasn't able to hear your story, Craig, would you mind telling us a little bit about why you decided to take part in the Ramadan reunion and why you wanted to bring your dad over?
A month ago to this day, in fact, my mum passed.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So it was on the 4th of March and I hadn't seen my parents in over 5 years. The last time I saw them was in 2019. And financially and just wasn't able to go back and say last respects and say my final goodbye to mom. And, you know, I'm hearing on the news, on the radio, and I just felt compelled just to, you know, write in and just share a story whereby I just said, you know, it would be amazing if I could see my dad again because I couldn't be there. And I don't know what's more difficult is being here or being there, going through this emotional roller coaster, you know, whereby mom was ill and we knew it to some degree as anybody does, you know, your time's up when it's up. But all I can say is you're not prepared no matter what, whether it's all of a sudden or you know it's coming, you still have this hole.
And this is why family is so important at times like this. You know, it's the grieving together, but it's also the sharing memories together.
Exactly.
And being together and hearing stories. You know, you've got your young daughter here today, you know, your wife. What does it mean? What was it like to hear the news that you'd won?
They phoned me up last minute and I was fortunately near a restaurant that's close by to the station. They said, mind coming in, you've been shortlisted, come and share your story. And I was like, okay, great. And I know the studio because I've seen it on Dubai One, but I didn't know the behind the scenes. So when everyone's around with the cameras and the microphones, I just thought it was normal. I didn't think anything of it, you know. And then they said, you know, share your story, which I did with Poonin, and she's amazing.
She's amazing.
And she says, well, when's the next time you're going to see your dad? And I said, well, actually, I don't know, but I'm trying, we're planning, hopefully, you know, bringing him out by this year, Christmas. Mm-hmm. And she went, yeah, no, you know, I think you're going to see him a little bit sooner than that because he's coming over, and I was just gobsmacked. And they, Poonen had my sister and my dad live on the radio as well, so they got to hear the whole story as well.
So I was
speechless. I was flabbergasted.
I think sometimes you see these competitions and you think it can't happen for you.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think sometimes, you know, good things can happen to great people. And I think it's just so affirming to be able to hear people's stories and think, gosh, you know, it is worth spending a few minutes on a website to tell your story and to connect. Because I think, honestly, the families that we've chosen to bring together are the ones that we feel have been so poignant. So, as I said, sometimes so heartbreaking. I mean, 5 years, my gosh. And five years it's been when we think about the pandemic, about logistics, about finance, about health. And I am so, so thrilled that we've been able to make this happen. As I said, the Ramadan reunion has been just an absolute privilege to be part of. Do you want to turn around and see who's behind you?
Oh, my word, Dad.
Pops is here. Go and give your granddaughter a hug and your daughter-in-law as well. My gosh. I mean, Craig, you're a big man in tears. Just goes to show sometimes you always need your dad, don't you?
Absolutely, yeah.
Nice to meet you. Thank you so much for travelling. Come and take a seat with us if you don't mind. So 5 years since father and son have been together, I just want to say I'm so, so sorry for your loss. And I think it's so much, so meaningful that you guys can be together at this time. I really do. Take a little seat. So I wasn't able to share the news on the radio, but you got to find out that you were coming over. What does it mean to be here today?
It's nice. A lot of change to what it was 4 or 5 years ago. I thought it was just going to be up the road, in town sort of thing. And it was away, and I'm like, where is this guy going? And he went away down the road, and then he kept going and going and going, and I'm looking. So slowly I said, well, he must be taking me to the right place.
You had trust in the system.
Yeah.
Craig, what's it like to have your dad in front of you?
I'm speechless, you know, I'm so happy. I'm just so happy to see you.
Well, it took a wee bit of time for me, but...
You made it.
Right, you boys can have a proper catch-up and have a chat with your daughter-in-law and Charlie there, because I understand she's got something in a suitcase for Pops. It has been, as I said, such a wonderful time, and over the next few days we are going to be treating our very special families to a couple of very special days. We're going to be exploring the UAE. We've got all sorts of prizes, so do make sure you keep it on Dubai 103.8 social as you watch some of these experiences unfold. I would say get the tissues ready, because as you can hear from my voice, it's been incredibly emotional to bring families together that have been separated for all sorts of different reasons. A huge thanks to everyone who's been involved in the Dubai Eye Ramadan reunion, from Turkish Airlines for bringing people here, JA The Resort, Nizo Salt, Honda, Danube Properties, Arawabi, Brands for Less, and of course everyone behind the scenes at ARN who've been working so, so hard to keep secrets and make plans and make it so, so special indeed. It is Helen Farmer here. I'm going to go and have a chat with our families now. And as I said, keep it here on Dubai Eye as we continue to explore the UAE and treat these families to a wonderful time indeed. And thank you for downloading this episode of the Afternoons with Helen Farmer podcast. Don't forget, you can subscribe. You'll get direct to your phone as soon as it's out. And you can listen to me live on Dubai Eye 103.8, Monday to Friday between 2 and 5 p.m.
You've been listening to a Dubai Eye 103.8 podcast. To enjoy lots more from Dubai Eye in the United Arab Emirates, just go to dubaieye1038.com or find them wherever you normally get your podcasts.